ஓம் நம பரமரிஷிப்யோ நம பரமரிஷிப்யாம் ஹரி ஓம். அந்தராயிதிமிரோபசாந்தயே சாந்த பாவனமசிந்த்ய வைபவம் தன்னரம் வபுஷி குஞ்சரம் முகே மன்மகே கிமபி துந்திலம் மகா. குருர் பிரம்மா குருர் விஷ்ணு குருர் தேவோ மகேஸ்வர குரு சாட்சாத் பரம் பிரம்ம தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நம. ஈஸ்வரோ குருராத்மேதி மூர்த்தி பேத விபாகினே வ்யோமவத்வியாப்ததேஹாய தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. ஆவர்த்தபுர்யாம் ஜனிதம் ப்ரபத்யேம் பாண்டியேஷதேசே விஹிருதம் ப்ரபத்யேம் ஷோணாச்சலப்ரஸ்தசரம் ப்ரபத்யே பிக்ஷும் தபஃக்லேஷசஹம் ப்ரபத்யேம் ஆப்ரஹ்மகீடாந்தசமம் ப்ரபத்யே ஜிதாரிஷட்வர்க்கமஹம் ப்ரபத்யேம் சர்வஜ்ஞதாசாரபிருதம் ப்ரபத்யே நிஸ்ஸீமகாருண்யநிதிம் ப்ரபத்யேம் அஸ்மாத் ப்ரபஞ்சாததிகம் ப்ரபத்யே விஸ்வாதிகோக்தேர் விஷயம் ப்ரபத்யேம் காலக்கிரஹக்ராஹபயாபனுத்யைக்ருதாந்தசிக்ஷாக்ருதினம் ப்ரபத்யேம் விநேதுமார்த்திம் விஷயாத்வஜன்யாம் விஜ்ஞானமூர்த்திம் தததம் ப்ரபத்யேம் கந்தர்ப்பதர்ப்பஜ்வரவாரணாய காமாரிலீலாவதரம் ப்ரபத்யேம் ஆஜன்மவர்ணிவ்ரதினம் ப்ரபத்யே குண்டீபிருதம் தண்டதரம் ப்ரபத்யேம் ப்ரஹ்மாசனத்யானரதம் ப்ரபத்யே ப்ரஹ்மாத்மபூயம் யதினம் ப்ரபத்யேம் ஹரம் ப்ரபத்யே விஜரம் ப்ரபத்யே ஸ்வதந்த்ரதாயாஹ சதனம் ப்ரபத்யேம் அமேய சாமர்த்யவஹம் ப்ரபத்யே விசுத்த விஜ்ஞானி வரம் ப்ரபத்யேம் தௌர்பாக்ய தாபத்ரய கர்ம மோஹ சந்தாப ஹந்தாரமஹம் ப்ரபத்யேம் யதார்த்த சங்கல்பம் அபேத பாபம் அவாப்த காமம் விசுச்சம் ப்ரபத்யேம் மனப்பிரசாதம் பஜதாம் ததானம் முக்தஸ்மிதோல்லாசி முகம் ப்ரபத்யேம் வ்யதாமசேஷாம் வ்யபனீய மூத ப்ரதேன நாம்னா ரமணம் ப்ரபத்யேம் சிவம் ப்ரபத்யே சிவதம் ப்ரபத்யே குரும் ப்ரபத்யே குணினம் ப்ரபத்யேம் மதீய ஹ்ருத்பத்மஜுஷம் ப்ரபத்யே சரண்யமீஷம் சரணம் ப்ரபத்யேம். This verse which now I chanted, it is written by Jagadisha Shastri. He was one of the scholarly devotees of Bhagavan and one of those few whom Bhagavan used to address by name, because he was so close from his younger days. So Bhagavan used to call him affectionately as Jagadisha. Otherwise, always Bhagavan used to add something, just like in English we add sir, like that Bhagavan will add something like Ayya or something like Aval. But few very intimate devotees who were close with him from their childhood, they were addressed endearingly by him with that freedom. So he used to call Jagadisha Shastri as Jagadisha. In this 8 verses, it is called Prapatya Ashtakam, and each verse ends with I surrender to you, O Ramana. I surrender to you. The name Ramana comes only in one place, but all other verses are full of Bhagavan's compassion and Bhagavan's that supreme state. Describing that, The verse ends with, I surrender to you. I completely surrender to you. So that is prapadye, 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 prapadye. So we will start Aksharamanamale. Arunaha chalavararketra Aksharamanamalai saatra Karunakara ganapatiye Karamarulikappaye Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Kinjiyum vanjiyai kunjamum irangilai Anjalendre arul Arunachala Keladalikkumun kedil pugalai Kedishayadarul Arunachala Kayinirkanivun meirasam konduvagai Verikulavarul Arunachala Kudiyittadiyarai Kullunai katti kundengan vaalven Arunachala Kopamil gunathoi kuriyayenai kolakurayan seithen Arunachala Gautamar potrum karunai maamalaye kadaikkanithaalvai Arunachala Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala Shiva Arunachala All the verses that we saw last 2 days, they were a devotee's prayer to the Lord to pour forth His grace. Only with the power of grace, you will be able to know the self. A song which was sung by Krishnan now, written by Janaki Mata. She was also one of Bhagavan's devotees and she had her own followers. She was a great saint who lived in Tanjavur. She has written many songs on Bhagavan. In the song which they sang now, Guru Bhakti Shaya Vittal Marai Purul Vilangadu. Without Guru Bhakti, without Guru's grace, that truth which is hidden in the Upanishads will not reveal itself. So when you do bhakti, devotion, it compels the Lord to reveal Himself. And without grace, the mind will not gather power to go inward to the heart. So we always depend on something to make a move, just to move these mics. I have to use a force. Like that, this outward mind to go inward, it needs a force to push it to the heart. And that grace comes from a center, an enlightened center. So here today, I want to read a portion from Swami Ramdas, who came to Bhagavan as a fakir, as a sadhu. He was chanting Ramnam and moving from place to place, completely in a state of abandon, in a state of surrender. So when he came to Bhagavan, he himself always, he speaks about himself as Ramdas, not as I. So we have to know that language. Somewhere in West, some devotee is asking him, can you tell us something about your experience with Ramana Maharshi? This is the question. And Swami Ramdas says, Ramdas met Ramana Maharshi in the year 1922. He is referring to himself as Ramdas, not as I. Ramdas met Ramana Maharshi in the year 1922. 33 years ago, that is when he was speaking. 33 years ago, Ramdas left his place as a fakir, a wandering mendicant. He was continuously repeating Om Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. With this mantra on his lips, he wandered from place to place and was led by a sadhu to Trivannamalai, where Maharshi lived. Maharshi was sitting on a raised seat. See, this is equal to seeing Bhagavan. And devotees, those who have seen Bhagavan, is picturing, we can also see Bhagavan. Maharshi was sitting on a raised seat. He had only a loin cloth and nothing else on his body. Ramdas paid his respects to him and sat down. A few minutes afterwards, Ramdas got up, went near Maharshi, and standing before him with folded hands, prayed for his grace. Maharshi then looked into Ramdas' eyes intensely for 1 or 2 minutes. Ramdas' whole body thrilled and he felt a joy which he could not express in words. Maharshi poured light and grace into Ramdas profusely through his eyes. This sentence, you can see Bhagavan. See, I will read it again. Maharshi poured light and grace into Ramdas profusely through his eyes and shook his head as much as to convey that he had answered Ramdas' prayers. See, that is Bhagavan's mannerism. 2-3 days back, one old devotee who is still here coming to ashram is a priest, is a Vedic scholar whose father was instrumental in starting Vedapadashala in ashram, Sundara Ganapadigal. His son Subramani Shastri comes here. He told, when his father was about to die, he was so sure that he will die the next day. So that day night, at about 9 o'clock, he called his friend Srinivasa Shastri, Srinivasa Ganapadigal, and told him, now itself you rush to ashram and see Bhagavan and tell him that I told you this. Tell Bhagavan that I am offering my son at the feet of Bhagavan. Because tomorrow I will not be alive. I am so sure about it. So I am offering my son at the feet of Bhagavan. And you have to come and report to me what was the response of Bhagavan. So that person came here. And Bhagavan was just close, sitting with closed eyes. And suddenly he opened and asked, Srinivasana, he asked. Is it Srinivasan? Yes, Bhagavan. Why at this time? Why have you come at this time, the night? He said, Bhagavan, that Sundara Ganapadigal has sent me. He said he is going to drop his body tomorrow. And he said, I am offering my son at Bhagavan's feet. See, Bhagavan's response is, the moment that was given, he just closed his eyes. For about 10 minutes, there was no response. He just closed his eyes, remained still, and he waited. After 10 minutes, Bhagavan opened his eyes and just shook his head. That's all. No word, no verbal response. It is Bhagavan's method. Just shook his head. And this person rushed back to his house and told that Brahmin that Bhagavan shook his head. Next moment is over. And then the Subramani Shastri, who reported this to me, he is already 82. They are living with that grace. It's so every day coming to Bhagavan's presence, doing puja. So the power of that satsang, to have a contact with an enlightened master or to Lord directly. Lord himself becomes your guru, your master. And then you have that freedom to speak to him. Aksharamanamala is conversation with Arunachala. Somebody asked Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna spoke to Kali, Mother Kali. Can we also speak to God? Why not? Bhagavan said, why not? If you can speak to me, why not to the Lord? You can speak to him also. And he will also speak to you. You have to know that language. It is not English or Sanskrit or Tamil. It is the universal language which communicates without any intermediary of words. That you have to know that way of communicating. So that is it. So we have been discussing that, and I wanted to read this Swami Ramdas article on his meeting with Bhagavan. So when the grace arises from the self, it reveals itself. In Bhagavan's death experience, there is a word where Bhagavan says, I felt I am going to die. It was not a thought. I was so certain. It is as if I am seeing a person, I am seeing death. And the body is going to die. The body is dead. But away, apart from the body, separate from the body, I was feeling the full force of my personality as I. Along with that, this is the word which I wanted to tell you. There was a strange fascination. This is Bhagavan's words. See, those seekers or devotees have to know this language. Bhagavan says, there was a strange fascination for the mind to trace the I thought to its source. It was not a deliberate thing. It was not a mechanical thing. Bhagavan's words is, there was a natural, strange pulling from within. A force was pulling the mind to the source. Like a magnet pulling the iron filings, the inner magnet was pulling the thought waves. to the source. The I was naturally getting subsumed into the heart. An irresistible attraction was there from the source. In another way, you can say there was an irresistible attraction to die. To be without the I, as Bhagavan puts it in Ulladan Arpadu, Naan Udiyadu Ulla Nilai, the state where the I arises not. The I as the ego is not making a move, but there is that consciousness which is self-effulgent, Swayam Prakasha. It needs no other power to make it know. It is by itself, it is awareness. It is existence, Sat. It is awareness, Chit. It is Ananda, that is, it is peace, it is wholeness, it is bliss. It is fulfillment. So that completion, once you have a dip into that heart, the mind comes out and it no more can settle down peacefully in the surface. Because it has already had a taste of that peace which is not mental, a peace which can completely release you, a peace which puts you completely one with the whole. As the bubble becomes one with the ocean, the I thought, the jiva, it becomes one with the whole. But naturally it comes up. When it comes up, that is suffering. This suffering, the people in the world, they cannot understand. They can understand separation from money, separation from wife, separation from fame, separation from recognition. But separation from God is a peculiar madness. Bhagavan himself calls it madness. In one of his hymns, he says, Paithiyam patri payanarum yanakkun padamurum arum arundu arulvai. He's beseeching Arunachala. He's telling Arunachala, give me that medicine for insanity. I am mad after you. The only herb that can cure that madness is the experience of you as my own self. Not a trace of difference should be there. Nanaupashyanti kavayah chidram jatu managapi. In Bhagavatam, one person is crying and the guru comes and tells him, why are you weeping? Do you know I am you, you are me? And there is not even a space to keep a small, minutest seed in between you and me. Because you are me, I am you. Tvameva aham. Tvameva aham. Tvameva aham. Na samshaya. Is this? No doubt. You are me, you are me, you are me. So when the Lord comes and tells you, you are me, you have no right to say, I am not you. You You have to abide there and the fruit has become ripe. See, seeing Bhagavan in Virupaksha cave, in Ramana Stuti Panchakam, there is a verse where the devotee says, making the Jiva and Brahman one and tightly holding to that state, remaining in that state for many, 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 many years and making it so natural and becoming one with it, not living as a ego, living as that Lord Himself and ripening as a sweet fruit and getting separated from the tree, you are here for anyone to enjoy, taste. This is the translation. ஜீவத்துயிரையும் பரத்துயிரையும் சேர்த்து இருக்க பிடித்தொன்றாக்கி பாவத்தில் நின்று தன்னை மறந்து பரம் ஆகி பழுத்து தனித்து விட்டான். So you give time to it. It just goes within, you become one with it, you remain there, you abide there, you get acclimatized with that state, accustomed with that state. Because we are so much habituated as living as the ego. So we will find many logic, many reason to go back to that state. All things will come. Dvaita, Vishishta, Dvaita, everything will come. To say that I am ignorant, I am a jiva. And to take you out of this confusion, this chaos, and to put you back in that state where you come to know that there is no you apart from Brahman. There is no I apart from Brahman. That is why the first verse of Aksharamanamalai, you might have heard the translation in every Ramanashram bag, that translation is there. Arunachalamana agame ninaippavar ahattai verarupai Arunachala. Those who meditate on Arunachalam, O Arunachala, you root out their ego. That is the, when you read Aksharamanamalai, the first verse, for the first time, that is the translation. But after going through Bhagavan's teaching, when you come back to that first verse, Bhagavan himself once remarked, you know what the meaning is? Arunachalamana ahame means, what is there in you as I is Arunachala. It is not that you think this mountain inside. You know that Arunachala essentially means the implied meaning of I. What is dancing, expressing itself in your heart as I, as Aham, is Arunachala Swarupa. You do not know Arunachala, but you know the Aham. You have the experience of I always. If you put off all light and sit in a dark room, you are not aware of the second person who is near you. But you are aware of your own existence. You are aware of your own existence as I am. And we take it very casually. We have ignored it for many, many, many births. And it is actually a shame. You might have heard in the Parayana, Ayye Ati Sulabham, Anmavittai Ayye Ati Sulabham. Actually, in speaking Tamil, Ayye means shame, shame. Bhagavan says too simple, but Ayye means, in the original song, Ayye means, oh sir. But in speaking Tamil, Ayye means shame, shame, shame. Bhagavan is telling us it is really shameful that being so simple, so direct, so immediate, always experienced within you as existence, undeniable. Whether you are awake, whether you are dreaming, whether you are asleep, it is within you, with you, as you. Here and now, if you keep quiet, it is there within you, available, ever available. Nobody can give it to you. And nobody can take it away from you. Somebody asked a great saint, is there anything that God cannot do? They say he is omnipotent. Is there anything that God cannot do? That saint said, yes, one thing he cannot do, that is to non-exist. Because he is existence. He is experience, existence, awareness are all synonyms. I, awareness, existence, experience. Sattva bhasika chitkva vetara sattayahi chit chittayahi aham. This is Bhagavan's words in Upadesha Sar. So that aham, that awareness, that existence is always experienced by us behind all thought. Our body undergoes change. The body never says I. The body undergoes change. It has childhood, youth, old age. Everything comes. And still we hold on to a photo taken when we were only 2 years old and say, this is my photo. Is it not? With so much delight, we show it to all. See, this is my photo. Taken when I was 2 years old. It doesn't look like you. Yes, it is. But the body has changed. That means that body is not here. Every 7 years, the entire body undergoes change. So death is not a new thing that has to happen only in the end. Continuously death is there with you. If body is there, it is another name for death. Bhagavan in talks, in one place he says, body is another name for death. In Ramayana there is a verse where Rama says, when you stand, death stands. When you move, death moves. When you sit, death sits. When you come back, death comebacks. Sahaiva mrityuhu vrajati, sahamrityuhu nishidate, gatva sudirga madhvanam sahamrityuhu nivartate. You can never be away from death as long as you carry the body. Because body is death, every moment death is happening in it. Creation is happening in it. Sustenance is happening in it. Death is happening in it. But we are not aware because there is no death in the I. See, I will ask one question. Suppose if I have to think about any one of you, I have to recollect your form. But if you have to think about me, you have to recollect my form. But what is your experience when you recollect yourself? How do you think about yourself? Is it possible ever for you to think about this form? Even if you stand before a mirror and try to meditate, it is impossible because you can never see your backside. You can never see what is within the body. So body itself, we simply say body consciousness. Bhagavan denies that because that is a vocabulary which has come from 20th century English translation. 19th century itself it has started body consciousness. Bhagavan for the first time denied that word. He said, body has no consciousness, God's consciousness does not know the body. The I has no body awareness. That is why you may amputate the leg, the hands, nothing happens to the I. The I remains separate, integral. And the hand will not say I. The leg will not say I. And modern science, it is helping us in an indirect way. Remove the liver, remove the kidney, remove the brain. And at a stage, we will remove the body itself and put another body there. Nothing happens to the experience of consciousness as I. So clear. It is our own experience. You need not even experience it. It is something which was already with you in all your past births. It is with you now. It alone will be with you always in the future also. We have not paid enough reverence to that experience. We have paid reverence to God in heaven, in all the temples. We have paid respect to everything outside. But this fact, this something which is more splendorous than the sun. Because sun, if you close your eyes, you will not see. But this inner effulgence, you cannot put it off even in deep sleep. Deep sleep is putting off your own ego sense, your own personality. Even there, this existence is shining forth in all splendor. Because it's existence. It's existence. See, people have, when they listen, they have a doubt. When we speak about deep sleep. Deep sleep is only an intimation. It is never present. It is never now. Deep sleep is always a past. Bhagavan refers to that state and tells to find out what is there devoid of the body, devoid of the mind, devoid of the ego. You have to do the enquiry, who am I? You have to find out where from the I arises. Because the I was not there in the deep sleep. When you wake up, it is the first thing to emerge. It is the first thing to come out. So when you consciously seek, locate that center within you, you pay attention to the I, the pulsation. When somebody insults you, you feel it. When somebody prays you, you feel it. When you get angry, you feel it. I will repeat one anecdote. Many times I have spoken about it. But it's the most revealing anecdote in Bhagavan's life for doing Atma Vichara. One devotee, he asked Bhagavan, Bhagavan, I am not able to hold on to this I. You say, we have to hold on to this I, but it is not palpable, graspable. When I try to investigate it, it just disappears somewhere. I am not able to get it. How to do it? And Bhagavan simply kept quiet. He didn't answer. See, in talks you will see question, answer, question, answer. But Bhagavan's devotees, they say, there might be even one day duration between a question and answer. It is very deceptive when you read a book. It is question, answer, question, answer. It will think as if the person is asking question, Bhagavan is answering. But it is not like that. Sometimes half an hour will pass. Sometimes 10 minutes will pass. Sometimes Bhagavan will answer without words. Even in talks you can see, no answer, no answer. The question will be there, and in between you will see no answer. And that no answer is very powerful. Because many of devotees, direct devotees, they got their doubts clarified by this no answer. Muruganar said in one of his songs, please remind me, I have left one story there, anecdote. The person asking Bhagavan, I will just have to tell this. Muruganar said in one song, Bhagavan, I came to you as a suffering soul and you said, be fearless. I came to you crying that mind is not under control. You said, be fearless. I came to you like a dog wandering in the street seeking for anything to eat. I was like a dog, street dog. I came to you, O Lord, you said, be fearless. When Devaraja Mudaliar, another devotee, read this song, he started pulling Muruganar's legs. He said, you poets are all bluffers. We have never heard Bhagavan tell anyone, be fearless, through words. You just write anything that you feel and put it in Bhagavan's mouth. And you say, Bhagavan said, be fearless. When Devaraja Mudaliar told this, Muruganar Swami became very emotional. His throat shocked. And with tears, he said, you know, Mudaliar, it is not that Bhagavan told this with his mouth, but his very look, his very eyes, the way in which he looked at me was that. And Devaraja Mudaliar writes in his reminiscences, I felt that is truth. Because that is the way Bhagavan spoke. So, coming back to our anecdote, Bhagavan, this person asked Bhagavan, how to do, who am I? Because I am not able to catch the eye. Bhagavan remained silent. No answer. He sat there. After a few minutes, he went to the dining hall. He was perhaps working there. And there he had a quarrel with another devotee. And both of them started fighting. That person told him, you don't know who I am. I will show you. And this person, this devotee also retorted back, do you think I am a powerless person? I will show you who I am. And suddenly they saw Bhagavan standing there. Suddenly they saw Bhagavan entering with a smile, and this person blushed. Bhagavan said to him, don't feel shy. You asked how to catch hold of the eye. This is the moment to catch hold of it. Because if you lose this precious moment, it will go and hide. This is the right moment. Hold on to it. It is like snake charmers. They make some song or something by which they can attract the snake from the hole. When it comes out of its hole, that is the right moment to catch hold of it. Otherwise, it will go inside. It will not be possible for you to catch it. So when somebody insults you, when somebody praises you, when you feel hilarious, when you feel excited, when you feel depressed, when you feel bored, you can see all these things expressed to Bhagavan in talks. Answer will be, Bhagavan says, find out who is affected. Find out who is feeling this nothingness. When devotee said, I am feeling that shunya, depression. Find out who is depressed. Bhagavan, it is very difficult. Bhagavan said, only when you lose sight of this I, all these things come up. Find out who is this I. Find out who is this I. Major Chadwick, the anecdote is told by Ganeshan. No? Major Chadwick, after coming to Thiruvannamalai, he felt after 2 years, he was feeling very peaceful for the first 2 years. In spiritual life also, there is a grace period. It comes, that word comes from spiritual life. Because that grace period, you feel you have already got it. When you first come to Thiruvannamalai, you feel it's over. Everything is over, complete. One lady came to me 1 year back. She said, Swami, now I cannot do japa. Everything is gone. I feel complete. I just smiled. She asked, why? Let us see after 2 months. After 2 or 3 months, so much came from within. Because this who am I is a key. It opens the inner chamber hitherto uncared by you. It opens. It's a chavi. It's a key. Muruganar Swami says, Bhagavan gave me the key to open the chamber in which the greatest treasure is hidden. The flawless thing is hidden. Puttai viduttanan unti para. He says, Kottamilladu kulavum shempurul puttai viduttanan. Kottamilladu means that complete, perfect thing. And Bhagavan gave me the key by which I can open that portal. So once you touch that center, things starts happening. A new door opens. A new realm opens. So Muruganar has sung about it. It's a key. So once that grace period, you feel you have got it. It's complete. It's whole. The grace comes and gives you that. But later on, all these pent up things is activated. Everything comes out. Then also, to be alert and to inquire to whom all these things are coming. To whom God is appearing. Even when Shiva appeared, Bhagavan said, find out who is the seer of Shiva. He did it. When he came to Thiruvannamalai and saw Arunachala, in Arunachala Ashtagam, Bhagavan says, I saw Arunachala. Next verse, who saw? Who is the seer? And when I inquired within who is the seer, there was no seer to claim I saw. There was no one to say I did not see. There was only that effulgent being whom the primordial teacher Dakshinamurti communicated through silence. He also communicated it only through silence. So to abide in that state itself is to propagate it, emanate it. So, to find out this I is grace. To pay attention to this I is grace. And once you seek this I, you see that it is not real, it is fictitious, it is illusion, it disappears. Along with that, all falsehoods disappear. Kutram, the thing which Bhagavan said yesterday, kutram mutru aruttenai. If you have to root out all the sins, all the falsehood, you have to root out the ego. And how to root out the ego? Because it is not real. If you have a tussle with the ego, it will not go. It is not real. Just like a ghost you see in a post, it is not there. If you put light, there is only post, no ghost. Only a pillar. And that pillar you see as a ghost. In darkness, you imagine it is a ghost. Like that, when the ego is investigated, what it is, it disappears, and in its place, you see that existence, awareness, and peace, and that purna vastu, that divisionless, boundless whole. And that experience is grace. And Bhagavan says to Arunachala, I have been praying to you. I have been begging to you. And you are deceiving me. Without, see, this freedom is there for a devotee. He can fight with the Lord. He can fight with the Lord. He has this freedom. Shankaracharya, in Shivananda Lahari, he says, Shiva, I have done japa, I have done meditation, I did puja, I chanted all his your verses, but you were not pleased. But I read in some of the stories of devotees, one devotee, Arjuna, was beating you with his bow, and you gave your grace to him. Another devotee who was converted to Buddhism suddenly became a devotee of Shiva. He wanted to worship Shiva, but the Buddhists will not allow. So he will take a stone and throw at the lingam, imagining it as a flower. And the story goes, Lord appeared to him and gave him grace, blessed him. So he threw stone at you, and Kannappa Nayanar, another devotee, he was a hunter living in the forest, not at all knowing how to worship the Lord, but suddenly love came to him, devotion came in his heart. He brought water in his mouth to do abhishekam, but because he was not using vessels. So you see how beautifully we do abhishekam to Bhagavan with a silver pot. We do abhishekam. We pour water on Bhagavan's head. He saw a Brahmin pouring water on the lingam. He also wanted to do it, but he had no idea how to use a vessel. He was living in the forest. So he went to a river, took water in his mouth, came and spat all the water on the lingam. And don't dare to do it. See, I will continue the story, then you will not dare to do it. Because after that, you know, this Brahmin was giving nivedyam, prasad. So he was bringing rice or sweet or fruit as nivedyam. He also saw it. He said, oh, Lord likes all these things, but eating fruit will not give him health. He is eating meat. So he brought some meat, that too, he wanted to taste it. After tasting, see, anything that is tasted by us should not be offered to the Lord. But he was not aware of it. So after tasting it, he was offering it. Then every day this was happening. The Brahmin who was regularly doing puja, every day will come and see all those, that spot around was polluted. With meat, with all kind of things, water. So one day he wanted to find out who is doing this. He climbed a tree and was hiding there. And that day, Lord wanted to reveal the devotion of this hunter. He was ignorant, but Lord wanted to reveal in what bhava he is doing it. So this Brahmin was watching from behind. This hunter came. As usual, he brought water in his mouth. He brought flowers hiding in his head. because he was carrying the meat in his hand. So with all that he came, offered the meat, spat the water on the lingam, and this Brahmin was standing there. He said, karma, karma. It's horrible. So suddenly, something happened. This lingam, the Lord's lingam, two eyes appeared. And this Brahmin was looking, Lord has never revealed his eyes to me. And here two eyes are appearing in that lingam. Felt, he was wondering, and suddenly, you know, one eye was bleeding. And this devotee saw, he could not bear. Next moment he took an arrow and pierced his own eyes and made it stick there. And that stuck there. The other eye also started bleeding. And he was about to put his another eye also there. But if he is taking the other eye, he has to know the place, exact spot. So he took his chappal and kept it there. And with the arrow, he was starting to remove the eye. Suddenly, Lord appeared in all glory. And this Brahmin also saw what bhakti can do, devotion can do. It's so much love. He just made that stone melt. Lord appeared there. See, Vinoba Ji, in his Gita talks, he says, worshipping a stone as God is the height of Nirguna Upasana. Because to see God in a moving object is somewhat easier, because you can see awareness, consciousness there. But to make Lord manifest in an inert thing is not something easy. So you can look at it in that way also. So Lord manifested there. So Shankaracharya is referring to this story in his Shivananda Lahari. He says, this hunter, he used his own slippers to clean your lingam. You blessed him. Another person hit you with his bow. You blessed him. And there was a devotee who threw stone at you. You blessed him. I am offering flowers. I am offering fruits. I am doing japa. I am doing meditation. I am practicing to remain in samadhi, and still you are not pleased. Now I should resort to something else. I will also bring some big stick or some sword. Ashmana musalenava tatha karomi. He says, I will bring that big grinder stone. That grinding stone I will bring and put it on your lingam. This is all the freedom of devotion. You can speak to devotee, you can tell Lord that you have to bless me. See, there was one devotee who told Bhagavan, Ramana Bhagavan, he said, Bhagavan, see, you are my only guru. I cannot take any other guru. So, if you fail to redeem me in this life, you have to take another birth. You have to take another birth. There is no other way. Because you are my only master. I cannot take any other master. So if I fail, it is your failure. You have to again appear. You have to again come back and release me. So that is the freedom of bhakti. That freedom of devotion where you can fight with the Lord. You can speak to him. You can express yourself. You see, this is also who am I? Because when you have contact with it, the eye is having contact with the heart. That is direct. This you are not aware, but the thing is happening. Otherwise we will think, what is the connection between this bhakti and self-enquiry? When you have bhakti, naturally the eye, the ego goes to the heart. When you converse with the Lord, when you pour forth your heart to him, the ego naturally merges in the source, comes in contact with the source. have a touch of the divine. So here Bhagavan says, I am pleading to you, kenjiyum vanjiyai, do not deceive me. Konjamum irangila, you are not at all melting, you are not at all showing your compassion. See, this is Bhagavan is giving us this like a mantra. You have to use it like a mantra. See, Aksharamanamale, many Westerners are also reading in English translation, doing Parayana. But you have to own it, assimilate it as your bhakti, and just speak to the Lord in the way Bhagavan has shown, the way Bhagavan has revealed. Here Bhagavan says, Lord, I have been weeping to you, pleading to you for your mercy, for your grace, and you are like, you are deceiving me. Vanchi, don't deceive me, don't cheat me. Kenjiyum vanjiyai kunjamum irangile, you have not melted, you have not even remain unmoved, and do not extend thy grace on me even with a little mercy. Kunjamum irangile. And here in the last line he says, Anjalindre Arul Arunachala. See the thing what we said, Bhagavan is telling Arunachala, at least open your mouth and tell me, be fearless. See, that has great power. In Bhagavan was his Mahanirvana room, he is about to drop his body in few days. One of the Bhagavan's devotees, Narayana Iyer, that Narayana Iyer went to Bhagavan, and suddenly he felt Bhagavan is going to disappear. No more can we contact him. What will I do? What will be my state after Bhagavan's form disappears? What will I do? So he wrote in a small paper, Abhayam, Abhayam. Said, Bhagavan, give me refuge. Give me that fearless state. Abhayam, Abhayam. He wrote in a paper sheet and put it, because it was very difficult to approach Bhagavan. This, it was crowded and Bhagavan's health was very bad. And devotees were not allowed to go near him. So one chance he got, he was going in a line, he took that paper and put it before Bhagavan. And Bhagavan took that paper and read it, and in Telugu he said, it is given. It is given. He said, Bhagavan, give me refuge. Bhagavan said, it is given. When it comes from the master, when it comes from a Satyavakya Purusha, a master whose word becomes truth, he need not think about the truth. Whatever they say, it becomes truth. So when such a being tells you, do not fear, that is the end of it. You will go through any travail in your life, any turmoil in your life, but these words will be there behind you, be fearless. That naturally happens in the life of devotees, but here Bhagavan is giving us a clue. Bhagavan says, you somehow get that words from your master. You somehow compel the Lord to tell you, do not fear. Once it comes from him, you can just run recklessly in life. No more fear, because he is holding you. It is his responsibility. It is no more your responsibility. You can just jump from the hilltop. See, Samartha Ramdas was a great saint in Maharashtra. He was showing partiality to one of his disciples. and they were going from one place to another place. Suddenly in a village they saw a temple chariot going, and devotees were following in the street, and there was a tree branch of a tree across the road. The temple chariot cannot move freely in that road, so somebody wanted to cut it. So Samartha Ramdas called this boy, to whom he was partial. He told him, you sit on that branch on this side and cut it. That is, not on the tree side. You sit on the side where if you cut it, you will fall into the well. Because underneath is the well. It is very deep. He said, not to the disciple. Actually, he told all the disciples, can anyone do it? Nobody came forward. This boy, he said, Master, I will do it. He said, do it. He simply, without any single second thought, he sat on that branch and cut it, and he fell into the well. He fell into the deep well. Samartha Ramdas looked at the well. Now you come back by yourself, and went away. he came out. You see, he was not even knowing how to swim. That is another side of it. So that faith has so much power. So here Bhagavan says, once you have got a connection with the Lord, somehow extract this word from the Lord, that be fearless. Because once you know that He is taking care of you, you can jump into the well. You can do anything that He bids you to do. You need not think about whether it is right or wrong, because He is telling you to do it. Annamalai Swami wanted to meditate, but 16 years Bhagavan never allowed him to meditate. He came here thinking that coming to Ramanashram you can do meditation. Bhagavan was constantly speaking to him about construction. This dining hall, everything, he was there. He was in charge. So whenever Bhagavan saw Annamalai Swami, Bhagavan will start speaking about construction. Bricks, cement, sand, door, window, all these things Bhagavan will speak. One day Annamalai Swami said, Bhagavan, I am really unfortunate. Because all devotees come to you, you talk to them about self-inquiry, about Vedanta, about bhakti. But the moment I come, you start speaking about construction. Bhagavan said, what to do? When I see you, I see a building walking. Because that had to be undergone. But with devotion he did. After 16 years, Bhagavan released him completely from work. He said, go and sit and meditate. Now you need not do anything. That's over. That period is over. Now, do go and meditate. That's all. So, when Guru says, meditate, you meditate. When Guru says, cook, you cook. When Guru says, wash the vessels, you wash the vessels. When Guru says, jump from the hill, jump. But before that, you should know that Lord is speaking through him. He is not a person. You see that it is Lord himself is as manifested in his form, then you can close your eyes, close your everything, and just make him become an instrument to him. That will release you. Once he tells you, be fearless, your sadhana is over. So here Bhagavan says, Kenjiyum vanjiyai konjamum irangilai anjal endre arul Arunachala. He says, Arunachala, tell me anjal. Anjal means be fearless. Don't fear. I am with you. If you tell me, I can go anywhere. I can do anything. Once you know that He is behind you, be free. Yesterday, KVS was telling me that Kunju Swami used to say, those days, tigers and leopards, they used to come frequent, even ashram. When ashram, it was thatched hut. So we all had fear. We will be afraid. We will be trying to hide somewhere in the night. But when we see Bhagawan sitting quiet, in that majestic silence, He will never speak about fearlessness. He will never speak about fear. He will never speak about bravery. But His very calmness, very abidance in that self, that silence itself radiated fearlessness. When we were with Him, we never felt fear. We never felt afraid. Completely we were feeling that we are taken care of. So that is, see, to have contact with a Mahapurusha is to have contact with the Lord. And Lord speaks through saints. He may speak in the heart directly to very pure souls. When somehow we have to get that surety, certainty, do not fear. Once you get it, we are safe. Let anything happen, nothing can shake us from our spiritual path. Nindantu niti nipunaha yadi vastuvantu lakshmi samavishatu gacchatu vayatheshtam addiva maranamastu yugantareva nyayat patav pravichalandi padam nadhiraha. That Bhartrihari says, let anyone praise, let anyone insult, let wealth come, let wealth go, poverty come, let death come today or let death come in the end of the yuga, you are not bothered. You are least bothered because Lord is there. He has given you His grace. He has put His seal on you. It is over. That conviction, that fearlessness is jnana. When Janaka offered everything to Yajnavalkya, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya is teaching Janaka. After every teaching, Janaka will say, I will give you 1,000 gold coins. Yajnavalkya will say, my father has told me that I should not accept anything till the disciple has got it. So every time Janaka will say, I will give you 1,000 gold coins, Yajnavalkya will repeat this. And ultimately Janaka said, I will give you my own whole empire. Then also Yajnavalkya repeated this. And ultimately Janaka said, I offer myself to you. Then Yajnavalkya said, Janaka, abhayam vai Janaka praptosi. Janaka, you have attained fearlessness. It is over. Because when you have offered yourself, your ego ceases to operate. When the ego is no more there, He alone will be there. Then why should you fear? Fear is over. So, abhayam vai janaka praptosi. We will see tomorrow. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala Shiva. Arunachala. அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல 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 யதோ மம ஆத்மா பவசி த்வமேவ ததோ ந வாச்யம் மம கிஞ்சித் அஸ்தி யதா தவேஷ்டம் குருமாம் ததைவ த்வாம் ஆத்மநாதம் ரமணம் பஜாமி.